CBSI on the World. I'm John Baps with Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired aviator at the Sagamore Institute, writing at the National Review Online about the immediate quandary at hand, the threat by Kremlin for tactical nukes or strategic nukes. It's unclear, but the threat is WMD times 10. That would be nuke. And certainly the Secretary General of the United Nations leaps to the conclusion that we're talking about nuclear weapons. So do other voices. So we come now for the rest of the century, not the immediate conflict in Ukraine, which we can presume will end in a positive fashion sometime in these next months, years. However, the balance of the century, and with an unnamed conflict between the U.S. Navy operating in two oceans and the Russian Federation with its submarine fleet and its nascent surface fleet, less the Moskva, and the People's Republic of China building ships very quickly. As Jerry has instructed us in the past, one Chinese shipyard is equal to all the shipyards we have. So, Jerry, what is to be done about the U.S. Navy? Is it adequate now to fight a two-ocean war against these combined forces, bad actors?
The simple answer is no. We do not have sufficient capacity in the Navy to execute two major regional conflicts at this point in time, specifically thinking about a Russian conflict in the Atlantic and a conflict with China in the Pacific. At 300 ships as of this morning, on the U.S. Navy's website, that's not sufficient capacity when you think about the rotational numbers you need to maintain ships forward. One of the key items that we're short on right now is logistical ships. So not only do we not have enough surface combatants, we would not have enough logistics ships, whether that's oilers or ammunition ships or food supply ships, in order to keep the fleet forward deployed constantly. If we were, in fact, go to war, we'd have to make some major investments in activations of reserve ships and the merchant marine in order to do that. And all those things take time. So the short answer is no, we don't have enough right now to do two major regional conflicts.
The Navy made decisions, I learned from your earlier essays, made decisions in the late 20th century about building ships that are now the super aircraft carrier Ford, the literal ships that are to be retired soon enough, and the Zumwalt-class destroyers that are full of electricity, however, have limited capabilities, as I understand it. That was assuming a world of conflict with conflict with lesser powers. Does the U.S. Navy today have a concept of engaging with peer powers such as Russia and China? Are they thinking that now, even if they haven't got the ships?
So I think they are thinking about it. They're thinking what a campaign would look like if we were to come to the aid of Taiwan, for instance, in the event of a Chinese invasion, or if Taiwan was to use its military, its People's Liberation Army Navy as a coercive instrument against allies and partners in the region. We've been recently stepping up our cooperation with Taiwan. We've changed the nature of our arms sales to Taiwan to focus on making it stronger in a defensive way. We've also just recently been increasing the number of exercises that we're doing with the Philippines, which is great. After years of dealing with Duterte, we now have a president in President Marcos who's willing to deal with the United States on a day-to-day basis. And of course, the Japanese and the South Koreans have all been increasing their investments in defense, as well as being forward-leaning in their readiness and the deployment of their forces. So we're starting to see a change there. But the fact of the matter is we would still be hard-pressed right now in order to sustain combat operations in an anti-access air denial environment, such as what the Chinese can put up with their big investments in long-range missiles that could hold our fleet at a long distance from their shores. So it'll be a significant challenge. I think the U.S. Navy is thinking about it. We're coming up with alternative solutions, but quite frankly, we're not there right now.
Final concern, learning from you, Jerry. The Greenland-Iceland-UK gap that provides access to the Russian fleet, the submarine fleet in the north, that gap, can we fill it? And do the Russians have the submarine fleet that can go toe-to-toe with the U.S. fleet?
So the Russians have the second best classes of submarines in the world. Their boats are very quiet. They're very lethal. They can dive very deep. They can go very fast. And so the Russians could challenge us in the North Atlantic. The U.S. fleet right now, we've been trying to rebalance our fleet from the Atlantic to the Pacific. We would actually have to look at our NATO allies and partners to make additional investments to help us close that GI-UK gap and close off the Russians up into the North Atlantic so that we could get our men and supplies to Europe across the North Atlantic. But John, my biggest fear right now is as Russia and China become closer together, is whether Russia will share its advanced submarine building technology with the Chinese. Right now, the Chinese have very noisy submarines. If the Russians shared their quieting technology with China, the Chinese boats could become much more competitive and much more challenging for us in the Pacific.
Megiddo, it's a village in the Middle East. It is the site, we believe, of the battle. This is Egyptian times. The battle we then call Armageddon. Jerry and I are talking about a version of Armageddon. And Jerry, I want to spend this last, we have about 30 seconds. The speculation that I've been entertaining right now, it is not far-fetched. This is not magical thinking. Do you agree, Captain? This is the what the U.S. Navy is thinking now.
Well, I think, in fact, having stood on the plain of Megiddo and looked at that battlefield and understanding how geostrategic forces would force people into that battlefield, we stand today in a place where we can see the geostrategic laydown and this competition and the potential of war that's coming at us that is most ominous. And so it is very concerning to me to see the forces of history being channeled into a competition between us and two other great civilizations and great powers right now that have nuclear capabilities. And so it is very concerning as we see this this competition come to a potential culmination.
Jerry Hendricks, Sagamore Institute. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.